Welcome back. We are so glad you stuck with us through the break. We're actually going to be talking about a book that is coming out very soon this summer. But there's more than just the book that we're going to talk about. We're actually going to talk about a testimony and what God, what might be important to God, and that is life. So I'd like to welcome Cheryl into the studio. Cheryl had a son born September 7th, 2010. And he was, well, there was just a whole lot that surrounded his birth. So I want to let Cheryl kind of tell a little bit about Simon's story. So Cheryl, without further ado, why don't you give our listeners just a quick overview of Simon before he was born and then what happened at his birth.
Great. Thank you, Marty. Thanks for having me on your show today. Simon Dominic Crozier is his name. And as Marty said, he was born on September 7th, 2010. He definitely was a huge gift to us from God, and prior to Simon, my husband and I, Scott, have two living boys named Samuel and Sean, who are now age 9 and age 7, and then we went through a series of miscarriages. We lost 7 babies to miscarriage. When we found out on the 4th miscarriage, my husband has an inversion with his X chromosome, which causes recurrent miscarriages with girls. So we were told, you just want a boy, you just want a boy. And with us being proudly pro-life, we continued on down that path waiting for our boy. And so we conceived December 09, and at our ultrasound in May, we found out we were having a boy, so we were absolutely delighted. And what had happened was we went in for the ultrasound, and we were there for a very long time. And due to 6 miscarriages, we were greatly under the microscope. We were told that there were problems with our baby, and that's not something that a parent would ever want to hear. And some of the problems that they were seeing was possible problems with his heart and a possible cleft lip. And so at that point, we knew we wanted our little boy, special needs and all, if there was anything wrong with him. As my husband left that ultrasound, we knew that God was working as he revealed to my husband the name Simon Dominic, a very strong biblical name. And so from that point on, we started referring to him as Simon. So each ultrasound we went to, we were talked to about termination, and they were starting to say they were seeing signs for trisomy 18. And trisomy 18 is a genetic disorder. It happens in 1 of 6,000 live births, and they will give you the absolute harsh terms of incompatible with life. They will say failure to thrive, and they have no hope with these babies. But we knew that God had knit him in my womb. Psalm 139 kept us strong, and we knew that God had a greater purpose for Simon. We also knew that for the unborn, we are to be the voice for those who do not have a voice, especially our most vulnerable and unborn and those with special needs. So we knew at that point that we wanted Simon's special needs at all, and we basically made it clear, no, we're not doing an amniocentesis. We have no intention on terminating. At that point, we had switched over to another hospital, ironically a Catholic hospital, hoping that they'd be a little bit more pro-life and stop putting our son under a microscope. And for me to just get the appropriate prenatal care that I wanted. Well, at that point, it didn't change. We, by one of the sonographers, were once again told that people terminate for cleft lips because they couldn't give Simon the prenatal diagnosis of trisomy 18 since we continued to refuse testing. So we continued on. Had several tests, and when Simon was born, I was in labor and delivery. I was induced, and the labor and delivery nurse had even told me, oh, don't worry, he doesn't have trisomy 18. He wouldn't even be on a heart monitor. Well, at that point, I knew something was terribly wrong, and I knew that there was, in a sense, discrimination or whatever you want to call it. There was not, they were not valuing Simon's dignity or if he would have trisomy 18 or any of these other kids. So since I didn't have the prenatal diagnosis, they allowed us to go ahead and have a C-section. Later finding out, they do not do C-sections for kids that have a prenatal diagnosis of trisomy 18.
And one I don't want to interrupt you, mm-hmm. but so many questions since we first met have just kind of flooded through my mind and, mm-hmm. and frankly, a lot of disbelief. And I just want to make sure that, that I'm understanding and that our listeners kind of caught that, that you know, they didn't know anything conclusively. You declined the tests to see because you are pro-life. And right. to you, even the thought of terminating this baby, because it was a baby, it was a human being, mm-hmm. The thought of terminating it, I mean, it wasn't even an option for you. So having these tests, but they just kept encouraging it. They kept encouraging you to have tests to know whether you should end the baby that was in your womb.
They kept encouraging, and they were looking at us as, why would you want this baby if there's possible trisomy 18 issues?
And a cleft lip? I have a cousin who has his son has a cleft lip. And,
right.
And that was a justification for terminating life?
Yes. There are some people who do that. In fact, I think there's some studies going on right now that they're trying to do surgery in utero. So I guess our society wants the perfect baby. Well, my husband and I detach ourselves from that because we do not want to be part of this society. In fact, we know that this is not our final home, and that is what keeps us going. All we know is we're not home yet. This isn't where we belong, and we weren't going to go along with the society of, even like a cleft lip that you have to have this perfect baby.
And
we didn't
care. 18 is not something that, I mean, as I understand it, Rick Santorum has a 3-year-old.
Yes.
The oldest person with trisomy 18 is in their 30s.
The oldest person that I personally know is 31 years old, and she's beautiful. Her name is Megan. 90% of the trisomy 18 children are born with heart defects. Now, granted, Megan was one of those within the 10%, and so she never required heart surgery. However, I do know personally, and this is the woman from SOFT, which is a support organization for trisomy, her daughter is 30 years old. And, like I said, the majority of them, they are born with heart defects. The interesting thing, though, with Simon is that a fetal echo, which is when you're pregnant and they are looking for heart problems, did not show how severe Simon's heart was. In fact, it was a very minor little VSD, which is a hole in the heart, so to speak, ventricular septal defect. So a lot of these tests are not 100% accurate. And when you're encouraged so much to either A, terminate or to push on and, do more and more testing, it really, if you're wanting your baby and you're not going to terminate, there's really no need to continue on and do these tests.
And
until the baby's born.
If our listeners are interested in finding out more about trisomy 18, they can just go to the website, trisomy.org.
They can. I mentioned SOFT, and the president of SOFT, her daughter is 30 years old with full trisomy 18, and she is doing very well. You had mentioned Rick Santorum's daughter. She is 3 years old. But SOFT will give you an idea of how many kids are out there that are living. And the website is trisomy.org. And as I mentioned, SOFT is the support organization for trisomy. But it's the medical professionals who are advocates for these trisomy children, as well as the parents that have pulled together. The other organization is called TRIES. And in my deepest, darkest hour after Simon had passed away, 3 months, I had contacted Dr. Debbie Bruns, and TRIES stands for Tracking Rare Incident Syndromes. And surprisingly, they are in Carbondale, Illinois. So I knew that was not a coincidence that I stumbled across that. Once again, the Holy Spirit was working. And I had contacted Debbie, and she wanted to hear all about Simon. And actually, it was through Debbie that we got connected to SOFT. And right now we are going, and Debbie Bruns and I will be doing some medical conferences together to increase the awareness of trisomy. So
I know you've been working hard on a book, and the title of it just kind of grabs me. I'm Not a Syndrome, My Name is Simon. And hopefully that'll be out by this summer.
Yes, it is in the final editing stage right now. I am working with my professional editor, and we are getting things together. Simon's book tells Simon's story, but it also talks about some of the things that we encountered. And it wasn't just Simon here locally. We are finding it's much more global than that, how these children are not treated right. So in my book, you will find about there is no heart monitor. If you have a prenatal diagnosis, chances are extremely slim that they would even consider doing a C-section, no matter what hospital you're at. As well as some of these kids, such as a Rick Santorum, his child, they weren't going to even send his child home with oxygen. So as far as medical treatment, you really have to be ready to battle for your children. And it's about right for life. It's about dignity. You know, some of the issues that we had ran into, you know, with our other caregivers were not for Simon. And that's what really started to bother us, because we were trying to explain the value of our son. And
the book will be coming out this summer. Again, the title is I'm Not a Syndrome, My Name is Simon. I think just from meeting with Cheryl a few times that this is going to be not only a powerful testimony of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but of the value of human life. And so I want to encourage our listeners to go to the website, check out trisome.org, or contact us over at Lay Renewal. We can get you more information and connect you up with the right folks. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have. We're going to have to bring Cheryl back again so we can talk about this some more. But that's all the time we have this time. Remember, your time is His time, so please use it wisely. God bless.